Hey!
Ah!
Wake up!
Sorry.
Wake up!
What is up? What? Where are we at?
We're recording. We're back.
We're recording. But this isn't our normal... How are we recording? We're not in your apartment.
Yeah, we are.
We are.
Nothing's changed.
No,
nothing's changed.
But where's the giant South Park poster that's usually behind us?
That's...
yeah. And on top of that, it's actually somewhat cool in this... Like, people can't see it, but there's a fan up here, and I'm not burning hot.
You can see, like, the light, though.
Yeah, if you're watching us, you can see.
Yeah, if you're listening, you don't get the nice visual flare.
But
there's a fairy above him, right?
There really is. But I don't think that's all. I mean, there's still something different. I'm not in a dining room chair. I'm actually in a very nice, comfy chair,
yeah.
And a little bit shorter than you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
I did not shrink.
Unless you did.
Probably.
You slept for a while. Has it been like 4 weeks now?
Yeah, I think it's been about a month and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we just go with it?
Sure.
Anyway, guys, welcome to episode, I believe, 12 of the BFG Podcast. We are officially back. There's just been a few things going on. As you can tell, if you're watching us or if you're just listening to us, Tyler has moved, so we are in a whole new area. I've had a few things going on with family and work and whatnot, so we had to take a little bit of a breather. Because, you know, sometimes we do got to put ourselves first to take care of things. But we are back. We are going to do our best to make sure we're back every other week to give you all sorts of gaming news, tips, hints. Everything you can imagine.
If not more often.
If not more.
I know we keep promising this and we keep on kind of falling through, but I'm really hoping, especially now that I'm in the new place and we're kind of settling down a little bit,
yes.
That I can get back to like some game streaming and some other projects and things, which I'll talk about in a little bit, but we'll get to that.
Absolutely. So that'll probably be our last topic of things.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a little more enjoyable for us here because we're not in a small cramped room anymore. I can actually move and I'm comfy. Like you might, if you're watching me, you might see me rocking because I am in a nice comfy chair. So as we always begin, before we jump into our topic, some might be a little bit older, some are obviously newer. Since we've been gone, you know, and even while we were gone, you know, we've talked a little bit on the phone and whatnot, but we haven't seen each other. So Tyler, outside of your move, what has been going on with you?
I mean, this has been the big thing. The
yes.
biggest part of it is just getting out. I mean, we had a friend of Haven's had a wedding, so we were at a wedding. You
right.
were at a wedding, too.
I was.
We both had weddings last weekend, because we were going to record last week.
Yes.
And then it turned out that we were both doing weddings.
Yeah, the whole...
You were a little bit more important.
Yes.
You were best man.
I was best man to my friend's wedding. It was a wonderful time, so...
I was a guest, but Haven was maid of honor at that wedding. So we both had... important roles at these weddings.
Yeah, you know, I mean, for me, you know, it's always great. I always say this because I was actually there for your wedding,
mm-hmm.
and I promise you and Haven are the only day I will never forget because it was my birthday that you guys got married. And we know you picked it just for me.
Yeah.
Just for me.
Always.
And, you know, I was there for you guys, and I know that you just had your brother being the best man and Haven's sister being the maid of honor. In the last two that I was at, one in August and then this one, I had the esteemed honor being the best man in both of them. And I always say, you know, it's one thing to be invited to the wedding. It's another to be asked to be in it, but if you're asked to be like the maid of honor or best man, it's huge. You can't turn that down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I definitely helped out. Michael and Lucy, congratulations to you guys. It's who I did it for recently. You know, it was a fun time. A lot of work, you know, just trying to take as much stress off of them as possible. And obviously, you know, I couldn't tell them no, I can't do it because I have a show to record. And I think Tyler would say the same thing. So we took an extra week. And that actually worked out because next week, early spoiler, I will be at ExpCon at the World Golf Village in St. Augustine set up.
You're going to be live streaming it, right?
I'm going to try. I would love to get some. I'll get some pictures at the very least, maybe
cool
a video or two, and
yeah.
Put it up on the Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so between two weddings, what else is going on? I know I kind of cut you off because we're talking about weddings and you know.
So we had the wedding, and we had the move.
Yes,
and those both happened within a week of each other. Because we were actually our move out date at the apartment was the same day as the wedding, so we had a long weekend. We had an employee in service day, planning day at the school. So when we had that long weekend, we decided to take advantage of that. We went ahead and moved out so that the weekend of the wedding we could just focus on that.
Right.
Beyond that, it's been a lot of, I mean, organizing. Obviously, we took a bunch of stuff over to the unit, to a storage unit, while we're getting set up. We got a lot of things like organized here and unpacked. And then I've been working on one of my projects, which again, I'll get to later. And I've been catching up on a lot of like TV and games and stuff, which we can also get to in a little bit.
Yes.
We've got a certain order to our topics that we're going to try to stick to, even
Absolutely.
Though the natural progression would to be to talk about them as I talk about them. But instead, I'm going to keep you in suspense and make you wait.
We're not even... And, you know, I got a chance to look at our list of topics last night, and, you know, for this episode, I think we're going to kind of just go with the flow of some things since we've been gone. Obviously, we did miss some stuff that we were going to talk about. It's kind of old, but we're going to try to get back into it, which obviously at our favorite time of year, you know, the holidays, obviously a bunch of games that are going to be on sale, both physically and digitally. Games coming out, obviously, and, well, actually 10 days from today, one of your most anticipated games, Fallout 76. Which we're going to talk about a little bit.
Yes.
Is going to come out. And then I believe, actually 2 days later, I think it's 2 or 3 days later, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee come out. So yep. It's like that week is going to be just...
That's all me. That's everything that I've been waiting
that's
for.
That's right then and there, you know, so forget about the rest.
At least until next year.
Yes.
Those are my big ones for this year. I know in January we've got Kingdom Hearts, but at least through January, those are like my big ones. We got Pokemon and Fallout within a few days of each other.
Figured that one out. That was fun. So we're gonna talk about some stuff like that. We're gonna just kind of talk about some holiday things, you know, some games that we want to see on sale. Since at the time of this recording, November was it the 4th today? Only Target has announced and shown their Black Friday ads. So Walmart, GameStop, none of those have been out yet. So we'll try to see what could be maybe miscellaneous that could be on there. But other than that, what's going on with me? So obviously, you know, I had the wedding last weekend, trying to do some Best Man stuff, just working on getting ready for the show coming up and this weekend, actually, November 9th, 10th, and 11th. What else have I been doing? You know, trying to play some games, catching up on some TV. I've actually really gotten back into, you know, watching the old Pokemon series. You know, I've watched Season 1, I've watched Orange Islands, I've watched all of Johto. And what I like what they're doing now is they're putting out... I don't know if they're actually called... I think they are technically seasons, but when they got to Johto, they split it up into three, and now I'm on Hoenn, so I'm on Advanced Battle, which is essentially the last part of the third generation, I guess you could say. And then I was actually looking, and because... I guess, you know, we mentioned January for me, on January 11th, which is a very important day for both of us, obviously, new Super Mario Brothers U and New Super Luigi U Deluxe comes out on the Switch on the 11th, but 3 days beforehand, on January 8th, which is why I'm trying to finish up so much TV, is Pokemon Battle Frontier, which I've never seen, that whole complete series comes out, as well as Dragon Ball Super Part 6.
Okay.
So, gotta finish up the TV before then, because I only got 2 months to do it, and obviously, you know, I gotta just sit down and marathon it.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, lots going on my end, just trying to get some work done, having fun, and trying to get with Tyler to see, hey, when can we record? And we just decided, like, 2 days ago, say, like, let's do it, let's get back to it, and because next weekend I wasn't gonna be here, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, so anything else before we jump into our first topic?
I don't believe so. Like I said, I'm hoping next week while he's at EXPCon, I can put up something, whether it be like part of my project build or some game streaming or something. I want to try to be more active because I think every other week works really good for the podcast as far as it gives us enough time to build up new topics that we want to talk about, you know, things we've done, things we're passionate about. But it also gives us time to just kind of like do our own things. We're not spending every weekend doing this. And right. So we have a weekend where we do our own things and then a weekend where we do this. But I'd really like to, the weeks that we're not doing the podcast, try to do something else too.
That's right. And, you know, I think for me it's the same thing. And, you know, I know recently I only posted like once and I got to do a little more. I taught myself, and I know it's an easy thing to do, how to fix a Nintendo, an original Nintendo. Just open it up and switch out the 72-bit pin connector.
Yeah, the pins aren't too bad once you get to know how to do them.
But honestly, even with me, you know, I am the least technologically, whatever you want to call it, person out there that I could take such an easy task and screw it up. So the fact that I've been able to do it is very impressive to me. I won't do anything else. I see people doing some other things too, like modding and whatnot. Like, obviously, you're a big modder, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, I'm sure. But no, that's not for me. So I'm happy just switching out my pin connectors, making my Nintendos work, and making sure to give people some good values.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're on to our first topic. It's a movie that came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was the movie we were supposed to do for our last episode, but ended up getting delayed by a few weeks.
But we're going to talk about it today.
Yeah, so now it's a little bit, it's kind of old news, but let's still discuss it, at least quickly, if not in
depth. You know,
it
may be old news, but it's Jack Black. Jack Black 2, Haunted Halloween,
mm-hmm.
otherwise known as Goosebumps 2, Haunted Halloween.
Haunted Jack Black.
Haunted Jack Black. And again, we have not talked about it since we've seen it.
Goosebumps 2, Jack Black's face.
Pretty much. Although Jack Black himself, and this is spoilers, but it's been out for like a month now, so hopefully it's not too big of a spoiler.
Yeah, I have a feeling if you were excited enough to see it in theaters, you saw it already.
It's probably down to like 2 showings a day now.
And if you're not excited enough to see it in theaters, you're probably also not excited enough to care whether we spoil it.
That's very true. That is very, very true. And going back to what Tyler said about having Jack Black's face, he was actually not in the movie until pretty much the very end of the movie. Now, granted, yes, he was still Slappy's voice all the way through, mm-hmm. but he only had just a couple scenes. I think he maybe had like 5 or 10 minutes of total screen time with him.
Yeah.
And I didn't read anything up on it, but I'm pretty sure it's because he was working on House of the Clock in this wall. Did I say that right? House of the Clock in his walls? Yeah, mm-hmm. I said that right. And then near the end of this one, he kind of shows up. And I don't know if it was actually him that was clean shaven or not, or if they just did some effects to get rid of his beard that he had in the house. And
it can't have been an effect. You remember they tried to do that with Justice League and how badly it turned out?
Yeah, that's very true. And you know that Goosebumps most likely had a smaller budget than Justice League did. So you know, they got to pinch pennies wherever they can. But it was enjoyable. It was enjoyable. I honestly didn't like it as much as the first one. You know, no. I thought it was something that, you know, I thought the first one really played up to not only the kids that were going to go and watch it, but the adults like us who grew up reading Goosebumps in the 90s. I thought it did well enough at that point, whereas this one was more or less geared towards just the children.
Yeah. The first one had better mass appeal.
Yes.
This one, not only was it geared more toward the children, it felt weirdly geared toward children.
It really did.
Like, even,
it really did.
Even considering, you know, it's supposed to be like a kid's franchise, but it felt like really on a childish level. Like, this, I don't know if this is like a weird reference or not, but if you watched Yu-Gi-Oh! And then you watched Yu-Gi-Oh! GX.
Yes.
It's kind of like that difference. Because it's like, it takes kind of like a franchise where it kind of left it, you know, on you to figure out what was going on. Like, it was still kid-friendly, but it didn't, like, cater to you as much to just kind of hand-holding the whole way through.
Yeah, you know, and
It wasn't as funny, it wasn't as appealing. The characters seemed kind of wooden. It didn't feel well written, and even the actors they got to do it didn't seem very good this time around.
Which is honestly a little bit of a shame, because, and this is not a knock on him, and I don't think he'll ever see it. Jeremy Ray Trainer, whatever his name. I see, I've already screwed it up.
The kid from It.
You know, it's nothing on him, because he's such a great actor. He did I thought all the kids in It were fantastic.
Yeah, he did really good in It.
Yeah, and you know, even in this movie, he just didn't seem as inspired, I guess. I don't know. But I felt that way all the way around with all the characters. And it was just kind of your basic story. I mean, yeah, there were, you know, it was cool to see, like, the monsters coming alive again and be like, oh, that's from that book, that's from that. But that was really what did it for me, is, like, I remembered some of those. But I still feel that they could have done a little more, or to bring in some more of those main books, if you will. Like, you know, we're still waiting for the Cuckoo Clock of Doom, something like that. I'm still waiting to see, say, Cheese and Die. I don't know how many of the books you read, so I'm just kind of going off of some of my personal favorites.
I read maybe 3 of them.
Okay, close enough. So I guess I'll handle it from here. No, you know, A Night in Terror. The biggest thing I think, did you read A Night in Terror Tower?
No.
Okay, so Night and Terror Tower is one of the best ones, I think. You know, maybe not the best to everybody, but I thoroughly enjoyed that one. And since this movie took place on Halloween and it was spread out all over, you could have seen the kids go through like a haunted house that got transformed into a Night and Terror Tower. That unfortunately didn't happen. You know, obviously Slappy again is the main villain. He was really cool. You know, the kids didn't really know his backstory, and you know, his, I don't know, you know, it left room for a third one at the end. I hope it's not another just cash-in, but it just didn't have the same appeal to me. And, you know, I went into it, obviously not expecting the moon or anything, but I went into it expecting around the same level of enjoyment as the first one, especially being the Goosebumps fan that I am. And, you know, Goosebumps is still, obviously everyone knows me, knows I'm huge for anything in the 90s, but Goosebumps is definitely one of the top 5, top 10 things that I will always hold near and dear. You know, something I look very forward to passing down to my children or my nieces and nephews or my future godchildren. No, Haven's not pregnant, I promise. I just like to point that out. So that's something I look very forward to passing down to them. But I think with this movie, it was definitely more of a, hey, we need a Halloween movie. Let's just put this one out and see what we can do. But it was not meant for fans of Goosebumps. It was meant strictly for the kids,
I feel.
So that's all I really have to say. Do you have anything else that you'd like to add on?
No, I think that was more or less what I was thinking, too.
And we can't talk about our favorite actor ever, Jack Black, because, again, he was only in the movie for like 10 minutes.
I mean, we could talk about him.
We could always talk about Jack Black, but
it wouldn't be about this movie. We could just sit and reminisce about how good School of Rock was again.
That's very true. And of course, again, Jack Black is Slappy. You know, I loved him as Slappy. I thought he did well. And R.L. Stein did have his cameo, like always, because you got to have the R.L. Stein cameo. But it wasn't for me on this one, you know.
Yeah.
It'll probably, because I enjoy Goosebumps and I want to support the franchise to hopefully get a third one, it might be something I pick up, but only if it's on sale for like $5. So when the first one came out, I remember I picked that up day of, because I enjoyed it so much and I liked watching it again, but this one is definitely one I wouldn't mind waiting on.
Yeah.
So, what is next? You got the list. I don't have the list today of stuff. So what is next on our list?
Next one I had was Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody. You know, I got to really sit down and watch this movie because I have seen everybody on my timeline talk about it, want to see it. They enjoyed it. I've heard about this one and then A Star Is Born. You know, everybody seemed to really enjoy that. So I am going to kind of sit here and enjoy what Tyler has to say because I have not seen that one yet.
Okay. So we went to see, Haven and I went to see Bohemian Rhapsody with her parents. We made like a date night out of it, and the Very four good. Of us, we got dinner and went to see it. I think the one thing that I need to get out of the way that everyone else has already said too is that Rami Malek is just amazing. Watching the transformation. Like, he's got Freddie Mercury's mannerisms and just the way he moved, the way he talked, like everything. It's uncanny. It's almost weird watching him as Freddie Mercury. It was insane. I can't say enough good things about his performance. The problem that I had with it was that I felt like it's over 2 hours. I think it's like 2 hours and 15 minutes or something that. Which, I mean, you know, isn't insane. You know, you have these like epic films and things, but this is one. What surprised me is that it's over 2 hours. And it still felt rushed to me.
Really?
Because, here's the problem. The movie was so focused on getting to, like, the big musical set pieces, recreating music videos, and showing the creative process, and, you know, kind of getting to these, like, montages of them making these iconic songs and recreating these iconic songs, that it sacrificed the story to me. I feel like there were times where, you know, we would be watching them creating Bohemian Rhapsody, and then there would be like 2 minutes of dialogue, just like a quick scene. But that scene was just kind of an excuse. It was a setup for like the next song or the next like recreation of a music video. I feel like it didn't take enough time to flesh itself out. And I know I don't normally say this. A lot of times I feel like movies get, you know, they can get too long or too wordy. This one, I feel like even though it was over 2 hours, I felt like it was rushed. I felt like it was too short. I feel like it could have expanded a lot on like the life of Freddie Mercury, kind of the things that happened to him, and also like the other members of Queen. Because I feel like, I mean, they were there a lot, but even when they were there, they were talking about, like, you know, Freddie Mercury and his drama. I feel like the even the other band members were neglected a little bit, trying to quickly get through some Freddie Mercury stuff just to get to the next song. Not that that's a bad thing necessarily. I think that, I mean, like I said, the way they did the music was great. They took Freddie Mercury's vocals. Rami Malek didn't sing. They took Freddie Mercury's vocals, and it feels like they remastered the music a little bit. The music sounds really, really good. If it's the original recordings, but it sounds like they just took his vocals and remastered the music, maybe. And it's great. Like, it sounds amazing. And the music videos that they do and the songs they do and everything framing this movie is really great. And even it ends on like the Live Aid concert, which is just insane. You know, it's the recreation of it is so good in this movie. And so I think the things that they did as far as the music and Freddie Mercury himself were really, really good. But I feel like they should have expanded on it a little bit more. I feel like the movie felt like it was moving at kind of like this breakneck pace. And I feel like if they had expanded on it a little bit more, it could have been even more effective, kind of showing his life a little bit more and his interactions with his bandmates a little bit more and stuff like that. But that aside, besides the pacing, I mean, that's the biggest complaint I had. I thought the stuff that was in the movie, I felt like was really good. I just kind of wish there had been more to it. I felt like it moved a little bit quickly.
Now, do you think when it comes out on DVD, Blu-ray, or Netflix or anything, they could have like a special edition with an extended cut to maybe add a little more to it, or like...
I highly doubt they will do that. That's what I had told Haven. I was like, whenever I was talking about it in the car, my thing was, I wish that they had picked one or the other. I think if they had like a director's cut that was like an hour longer even, that would be super cool to watch, to see all that expanded on. But you have to remember, they'd have to shoot all of that footage. That's not just something they can make appear, you know?
Right.
If the footage isn't there, if they don't have all that extra footage of, you know, extra stuff, it's just, it doesn't exist. And I think that would be awesome, but I highly doubt that they did that. I don't think they've got enough extra footage to create like a real special cut. And if they do, that would be awesome. I'd love to see that. But I don't think it exists.
Well, you never know what these big time studios. They may have something lined up.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to be that every time I see a movie coming out, whether it is a Marvel movie or whether it's, say, like a Goosebumps type movie, mm-hmm. or anything, regardless what it is, it could be a war movie for all I know, I always seem to see like the Blu-rays and be like, hey, grab it today for the exclusive extended director's cut, yeah. blah, blah, blah. Get an extra 35 minutes of video. Even if it's not directly put into the movie, it's mm-hmm. there just to watch by itself.
Yeah.
So you never know with these things.
Maybe so. And if it is, I would be really happy to watch that again.
Yeah.
But what I was telling Haven, I feel like this is a weird midway where, like I said, the pacing didn't quite work for me. And so I either would have preferred to just see an extended cut of, you know, all this extra footage and kind of an expanded film, mm-hmm. or I almost would have preferred to see it the opposite way and just see the music. I think this would have been like almost just really cool as like almost like a remade concert almost, where they have all, you know, this kind of like creation process and music videos and the Live Aid concert and all that,
right.
as done by Rami Malek, acting him out, but almost just exclusively do that and cut out like the exposition bits altogether and just make it kind of like almost like a concert film or something like that instead. Okay. I feel like one way or the other it would be more effective, but as it was, it almost felt like a little bit incomplete and too fast.
Okay.
It was really good though. That's not to say I didn't enjoy it. I think, like I said, what was there was really good. I just feel like they had a whole lot to cover and they kind of like rushed through it really quickly.
Okay. So, but, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, on our normal scale, I'd probably give this one, like, a 7, I think.
It's still pretty good, especially yeah. with the type of movie it is. Right around the time that it comes out, because these type of movies I usually see coming out in the summer, mm-hmm. give or take. So to kind of put it out now, you know, still good.
Yeah.
Still good. So I don't really have a lot I can say about it because I haven't seen it. So,
Moving on.
What is the next?
There's going to be a lot of that today, by the way.
Yes, there is.
I basically wrote it for me because I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to talk about.
All right.
Well, next up, we've got The Haunting of Hill House.
So, actually...
Did you watch it?
I did not watch it yet. I'm going to sit down and watch it.
You have to watch it.
Much like Bohemian Rhapsody, my entire timeline is filled with people now watching this, now watching that. Oh, this is great. Oh, I can't. It seems as though Netflix just knows what the heck they're doing with these things. It's really amazing. So,
The Haunting of Hill House.
You can tell he's more excited about this than Bohemian Rhapsody. So, Tyler.
The Haunting of Hill House is probably like my favorite Netflix series created yet. I mean, like, even as much as I loved like Jessica Jones and Daredevil and what Marvel's been doing with them, I think The Haunting of Hill House is probably just like one of my favorite TV shows in recent memory. I could not get enough of it, and I really hope they bring it back. I don't know how they've kind of concluded this story.
Don't go too many spoilers since it's still new and I haven't seen it yet. And I've been watching it.
But what? but like I'm gonna try to keep it spoiler free. But They mostly kind of, you know, they conclude this within its season. It seems more like a standalone, like a series. And so I'm wondering if they're going to make it kind of like a mini, like an anthology series, you know, kind of like they do with American Horror Story or something like that.
Yeah, you know, get like a new group of characters or something and try again.
Which I'm kind of worried about because American Horror Story can be so hit or miss. There are certain seasons that are really good and certain seasons that are just kind of crap. And so I hope that it comes back. Like, I really hope that it comes back, but I also really hope that it's like an effective comeback and it's not like them trying to recreate the magic of the first season, you know?
Well, we've seen that so many times. Like, you know...
Oh, shoot. I forgot about Stranger Things. That'd be a close fight.
So
probably like Stranger Things and Haunting of Hill House would be really close.
Well, so if you're saying that, and I got to tell you guys with me, is that I don't really watch a whole lot of TV. You know, I really don't. Like, you know, I'm going back and watching the shows I did know and didn't see. Like, obviously, I think a good 90%, if not 95% of our viewers, or just people in general who are our age, watched Pokemon the first season.
Yeah. Right?
And then obviously as you get older, you know, you kind of tail off. And I remember for me personally, I stopped watching it around the end of the Johto League, so right before the third generation. So I may be watching that now or older Power Ranger seasons now, but it's because it's of a franchise that I watched and enjoyed a lot as a kid. Stranger Things is one of those shows that I didn't jump into right away. It was a few months after I just was finally like, I had enough. I'll watch it. And I fell in love with it. Kind of going with you, Tyler, and thinking about how they could possibly do a second season of Haunting at Hill House. And obviously, Stranger Things at the end of the first season left a bunch of questions. So we knew a season two was coming, and we know a season three is coming. And I think they're doing season three and season four back to back just because the kids are getting older and more popular. Season two of Stranger Things, again, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Didn't find it as good as the first season, personally, so I think they had kind of like that underrated hit a little bit. So if you are personally saying that Haunting at Hill House and Stranger Things are neck and neck, and you and I have known each other for 7-8 years now, then it's definitely worth sitting down and watch. So it's so just good. Telling me to go watch it.
Okay, so spoiler-free review. I will say the acting is just top-notch. From most of the main characters. There are one or two kind of like kitschy acting jobs, but you can tell it's for like more minor characters and things. But acting is great. I don't have any complaints about that. The story I feel like was really good because it does have jump scares. I mean, obviously it's got those like spooky moments and like, you know, whoa, in your face. But what I really like is that a lot of the horror that comes from this is how the characters are dealing with like guilt and grief and shame in their lives. A lot of the worst monsters in this show are the monsters that they create for themselves. And I'm not trying to be like, you know, all philosophical here, but
of course.
But you know, it's like, I think what's really effective about this show is, again, you know, spoiler free, but there's some trauma at the beginning. There's an event in this family's life, and they're trying to move on from that. And it's about each one of them is dealing with it in their own way, and it's how they move on from these incidents and how the past comes back to haunt them. That's just as frightening as the show itself. And one, I was reading an article about it, which I didn't even realize at first, but one of the other people pointed out, and I thought that it was the coolest thing. I didn't even realize watching the show was that each of the kids in the show, as they get older, you see them, each one personifies like different stages of grief, like mourning and denial and acceptance and things like that. And I thought that was really cool. I didn't realize that at first when I was watching it, but I thought that was really cool. The other thing that I would say, definitely like spoiler free, watch out for all of the ghosts. One of the coolest things that I like about this, and I'm saying this mostly for, all for all of our like viewers and listeners, but also for you, if you start watching, I need you to do this. Watch in the background for ghosts everywhere. Okay. There are the jump scares where, you know, it's like, oh, obviously there's the ghost. But part of the Haunting at Hill House is that, you know, the house is supposed to be haunted. And so there are a lot of times where there are ghosts there that they don't even see. And so, like, if you watch really closely, you can see, like, you know, a silhouette or a face or something in the background. That there's no jump scare. The characters never see it or mention it, but they're there. The ghosts are there all the time. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. It's like Where's Waldo, but with ghosts.
That's actually really interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And I didn't even realize it until later on. I saw the first one in like the fifth episode or something like that. And I went and I looked it up to be like, you know, what is this about? And they said there's articles like Reddits and things like dedicated to just pointing out these are the ghosts and where to find them. And so after I finished the series, I went back and I was like browsing through like, oh, I saw that one or oh, I missed that one. And I thought that was super cool.
So it's like an interactive show.
It was. Oh, wow. That was really awesome. That was like the coolest thing ever. And it's not advertised. They don't say that. You know, it's not part of like the viewing experience. But once you know about it, it's like you start seeing it, and it's so cool. I thought that was the neatest thing.
These shows just giving you a little extra and giving you incentive to watch. And yeah. Rewatch, even.
So. Yeah. And also to keep your eyes on it. If you're one of those people that, you know, watches through your hands or watches from behind a pillow whenever you're watching, like, a horror film or something, this actually gives you motivation to not look away. You actually have to look closely to see everything that there is to see. The final comment I want to make, and I have been spreading this around. You might have seen it on our social media at this point. But if you haven't, watch episode 6 closely. Episode 6, there are cuts, but it's edited in such a way that it's supposed to look like one continuous shot. It's basically a handful of continuous tracking shots that they've spliced together. Kind of like if you've ever seen Rope, Alfred Hitchcock's movie Rope.
Okay.
It's all supposed to be done in one take. And at the time Hitchcock was famous, they couldn't do that. The movie was too long. They couldn't put it on one reel. So there's one cut where somebody walks in front of the camera and there's like a quick cut there. But the movie is supposed to take place all in one evening during a dinner party, and the movie takes place as one continuous tracking shot. And episode 6 of Haunting at Hill House does the same thing, and it is the coolest thing ever. There are a few cuts, and if you watch closely, you can tell that, you know, like, oh, that's a transition there. But it flashes back and forth between like their childhood and their adulthood. And so you see them like in one building, but then they go around a corner in a hallway, and all of a sudden you see them as children, but you see like the adults like still standing in the background and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The way it's edited is just so beautiful. And I don't, you know, maybe I'm just getting technical here. Maybe I'm geeking out about, you know, something that everybody else will be like, whatever, that's not a big deal. But it's just, that was a really well executed episode. I loved episode 6.
How many episodes are in the series?
10.
10. Oh.
10 episodes. Oh, okay. So, I mean, you know, I was watching like an episode or two a day, and I still got through it in like 4 days, something like that.
Hour long?
Yeah.
Okay.
Approximately. It doesn't really stick to it, and I mean, you kind of know the deal with Netflix. You know, some of them are like 50 minutes, some of them are like an hour and 5 minutes, but it's like right around an hour.
Okay.
But yeah, this one, Haunting of Hill House, I would give probably like a 9.5. This was just about as close to a perfect score as I could give it. I really, really loved this show. I can't recommend it enough.
And for how tough you are on movies and whatnot, you see a lot more movies than I do on the TV. That is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
That is really impressive.
No, I can't recommend this one enough. I loved Haunting of Hill House.
So I got to sit down and watch it, apparently. Yes. And I will do that. I'll definitely do that. Probably after. I might even watch an episode or two this week. But as soon as the show's done and I get that weight off my shoulders, and I'll have a lot more time to sit down and actually relax. So, check it out. What is next that we got on our
list? Next up is another one. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
So this one I know a little bit about. I've been hearing a little bit of mixed things. And someone who grew up, first and foremost, watching Clarissa Explains It All on Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. And then I did watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I believe it was ABC, I want to say. You know, I did watch that one. And then I heard of this one coming out. And I got to be honest, at first I thought it was like maybe a continuation. Or, you know, obviously she's older, you know, so it wouldn't be the same teenage witch kind of ordeal. But I've been hearing it's a little more of like a darker, like...
It is darker. Okay. So Sabrina the Teenage Witch was like a sitcom.
It really was, like, you know, like safe for everybody.
Full straight on, like, you know, you sit and giggle at these like silly witch antics and
you got the laugh track in the background.
Yeah, it's I mean, you know, if you've ever seen like Full House, you kind of get an idea of what you're in for. This one is the complete opposite, and it's part of like a complete revamp. I don't know how much you know, but this guy named I always blink on his name. His last name's like Aguirre Sacasa or something like that. I'm Sorry if I'm mispronouncing it. But he was basically like a fanboy.
Okay.
He wrote Archie fan fiction and tried to submit it to the Archie company, and they rejected him. Mm-hmm. And then he tried to make it anyway. He tried to make like his own like fan stuff and put it up like on YouTube and things, and they had it taken down. Mm-hmm. And then he got big in the industry. He started actually like writing for other TV shows and stuff like that, and doing some directing. And like almost 10 years later, they hit him back up and said, "Oh, hey, you're that guy that tried to write Archie fan fiction before, but now you're famous and people like you, so we would like to hire you." And so eventually he went on to kind of, he basically took over. I don't know if he's like full CEO, but he's like creative director now or something like that. And he's like completely revamped their line. He's changed the comics. He's changed the way they do their shows, everything about it. He's kind of revamped the whole franchise. And he's behind Riverdale, which is kind of like the dark, edgy version of Archie, if you watch that. I haven't, but from what I understand, it's kind of like the dark, edgy, like CW teen drama version of Archie.
Well, a lot of people seem to love that show, too.
Yeah, and I've heard good things about it. And I've also heard that it's not really just like the Archie, you know, like the silly Archie stuff like it was before. It's more kind of like a murder mystery kind of thing. It's more like Twin Peaks, but with Archie. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, maybe eventually I'll try it, but I haven't yet. And so this is his next thing, is The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. And it's based on The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina comic series that he also made for Archie. And this one is like a full-on like horror story / teen drama. It still has like the relationships in there. If you remember the show or read the comics, Harvey is in there and they're still dating and all this. But this one is full on like dark occult, like witchcraft story. And if I'm being honest, this one I think I was a little bit tougher on just because it's me. And like coming from a Christian background, it made me a little bit uncomfortable. Because the basis of the entire first season is they're trying to get her to go through her dark baptism for her 16th birthday. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that she's going to give up her mortal life to go do like the Dark Lord's bidding. And it kind of just like left a bad taste in my mouth for the first episode or two, because it was very clearly like, you know, this is like their religion. And they used even a lot of like Christian language, but they would reverse it. Like instead of a holy baptism, they would call it the unholy baptism and stuff like that. And it kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit in the first episode or two. But then in the end of the second episode, she's supposed to be like signing her name in the devil's book or something like that. And she turns her back on the whole thing. She basically says, "This is super creepy and you guys are gross and I don't want to go to hell. So I'm not signing your book," and shove off. And I was like, that's super cool. I like the fact that, you know, as much as, you know, it's still like a fantasy show and it's still witchcraft, but I like the fact that, you know, she's at least fighting for her freedom and liberation and stuff like that, and saying, you know, I want to be a good person. I liked that. And so then it becomes like this, there are some filler episodes. There are a few episodes that are just kind of about like the hijinks she gets up to, but it's still very dark and moody. It's not nearly like the sitcom vibe. I would put it, it's not quite in like straight up horror movie territory, but I'd say it's definitely more of like a thriller, like a suspense show.
So I guess it doesn't have the laugh track in the background.
No, it definitely doesn't. And it wouldn't really fit. There's not a lot of humor in this show. It's not comedic just in general anymore. It's not meant to be funny. That isn't to say it isn't effective. I thought it was well made, and I really like Kiernan Shipka, who plays Sabrina. I thought she did great. I have no complaints about her or even the other actors and actresses. I think it's all done really well. It's just it felt a little bit too much. It felt like they were trying really hard for kind of that shock value with like the, you know, satanic rituals and things. Mm-hmm. And it, like I said, it just kind of made me, you know. And so the only thing that kept me, because after the second episode, I was kind of thinking, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe it's just getting under my skin too much. But it was when she turned around and said, "Hey, I don't want to go to hell. I don't like you guys." That was when I was like, "Yeah, stick up for her."
That's the Sabrina we know.
Yeah, and so then I kind of stuck with it. Because she was, like, fighting against all of that. You know, I kind of like that she's, like, the ray of light and kind of this, like, really dark stuff. I'd say it moves pretty well. The story is more or less effective. I mean, you have to think that it's meant more for that, like, teen crowd. It still falls into those, like, Archie trappings of, like, the relationship drama and the BFFs and things like that. But it does, it's very good. It's kind of like that underdog story. You know, she's bullied by the witches because she's only a half witch. She doesn't know how to balance her witch life with her mortal life and so on and so forth. And one of her best friends gets bullied because they can't tell if it's a boy or a girl. And so throughout the episode, some people refer to her as a boy, some people refer to her as a girl. And there's kind of like this like bullying aspect where she stands up for her friend and, you know, tells the bullies to shove off and then uses some, like, goofy witchcraft to, like, tease the bullies and stuff like that. You know, kind of stuff like that. It does fall into some of those kind of, like, teen drama trappings of, like, standing up for your friends and, you know, being there for your boyfriend or whatever. But I think as far as the show itself, the writing is pretty solid and it moves at a good pace.
Okay.
And I like the acting. But, you know, again, if I'm staying spoiler-free, I can't go real far past that without spoiling it. So, I've already basically told you how episode 2 turns out. I've spoiled that much, but...
Does it leave room for a second season?
It does. Oh, it definitely does.
Yeah, okay.
It's perfectly set up for season 2. And again, there's something that happens in the final episode that kind of weirded me out a little bit. But I figure I want to at least stick with it long enough to see how they take that. I might end up bailing on the second season, depending on which way they go with it. But they've definitely set themselves up to come back. And it's already listed. Oh. It's already been picked up. Season 2 is already listed on IMDb. And as they're in Netflix, I think you can see like part 1 and part 2. But part 2 isn't available yet or something like that. So I don't know how that's being handled. But it's I think it's made as like at least a 2-episode arc from the get-go. I'd say this one I'd probably give more like a 6.
So you're definitely telling me that Haunting at Hill House is much better than
Watch. Oh yeah, definitely. If and that's where it gets tricky, because I think standing on its own merits, I want to give Sabrina like a 6,
mm-hmm.
But if you're asking me like, okay, based on the other things you've seen, like if you're talking about compared to like Bohemian Rhapsody and Haunting of Hill House, I'd put Sabrina like even lower. It'd be like a 4 or 5 based on those merits. But I think just purely objectively, outside of the other things that I've seen recently, I would probably give it closer to like a 5.5 or a 6.
So pretty much we picked out your movie for whenever you listen to this, Bohemian Rhapsody, and we picked out your show to watch
in mm-hmm.
Haunting of Hill House. So
yes.
Sabrina, again, it doesn't really... It didn't really appeal to me. I mean, I enjoyed the sitcom show. I didn't sit down and watch it from start to finish. You know, like I did some of the shows, like obviously the first one that comes to mind is like Boy Meets World. I really enjoyed that show.
Oh, yeah.
So when Disney picked up Girl Meets World, you know, I made sure to sit down, even in my 20s, to, like most people I'm sure did, to watch Girl Meets World.
And so, again, obviously, Girl Meets World didn't appeal to either one of us like Boy Meets World did, because we're grown up and it's written differently. But I felt like that one, more than a lot of others, really picked up its vibe.
Absolutely.
Girl Meets World felt like Boy Meets World did.
As best as it could as a Disney
type season. Like, obviously, I think you agree with me here that it wasn't as good. But I feel like more than most other shows that we kind of get into and watch, that one was, like, really effectively a good follow-up to what it was trying to...
Right, absolutely, and just to kind of go with the Girl Meets World thing is that, again, Boy Meets World, I believe, was ABC, I want to say.
Yeah.
And Girl Meets World was straight Disney, so obviously as the cast of Boy Meets World got older, you know, they started to touch on other things, you know, like the first time that Corey and Topanga wanted to make love. Obviously, you can't
talk
about that in Disney.
They started touching on, so like, Boy Meets World eventually got into stuff, you know, like... not just sex, but also there was one where, like, Sean starts drinking. Sean, like, gets into alcoholism.
Yeah.
And a lot of it dealt with Sean because, you know, he was like the resident, you know, bad boy or whatever. But there was like the one about alcohol. There was one where he gets mixed up in like some shady dealings with basically like these mafia guys. But he doesn't care because he's making money doing it and stuff like that. And it kind of starts touching more and more on like his dad passing away and how he deals with like loneliness and depression and things like that. But obviously Girl Meets World stayed pretty much like the first couple of seasons of Boy Meets World did.
So in comparing it, I guess, to the Sabrina show on Netflix now, is that, you know, it's different to see it. Obviously, you could do a little more on Netflix with it being a little more darker, but...
Speaking of which, I feel like if you watch The Haunting of Hill House, you know exactly what you're in for. And I don't need to give, like, you know, asterisks or anything. Yeah. If you're watching The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, thinking it's still going to be in the vein of, like, Archie or Sabrina the Teenage Witch, be aware that there is, like, language and some gore. It's not necessarily, like... Like, obviously, we were saying it's darker and gets into, like, more of the occult stuff, but it also gets kind of graphic sometimes. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of moments where I was like, ugh, I wasn't expecting that. I thought this was Sabrina. So just a heads up there. It does get a little bit graphic sometimes.
Okay. So I really don't have anything more to add to this one. Obviously, you know, I definitely had more of an interest in Haunting at Hill House first before this. Mm-hmm. So I guess just moving on.
Sure.
Seven. I think I know what the next one was when I was looking at it.
Fallout 76.
Yes. So I'm gonna just kind of touch a little bit about this one because I know Fallout's more your thing. So remember, Tyler, we do have more topics.
I don't know if you did. I've been in the beta. I've got a couple dates in the beta. And I've got a couple stories about the beta. So I don't know if you got into that or if you even tried. But.
No, because I'm just going to kind of do my thing about it, and then I'm going to let you kind of just take over from here. So Fallout 76 and Fallout in general, you know, I see why people love this series so much. I actually never really got into, like, the big open world, like, Skyrim, Fallout type of games. And I believe this one's going to be just strictly online when it comes out, isn't it?
Yes.
So that right there for me is just kind of like a big nose. I'm more of a story-driven, and I will talk about a game for our last time for Black Friday in a moment. But for Fallout, you know, I know a lot of people. Obviously, Tyler's very big into it. He's very much looking forward to it. I got another friend of mine, the one I do all my eBay stuff with. He's Fallout's like his favorite franchise of all time, so obviously he's looking very forward to it. But obviously, you know, no Fallout games without any glitches or bugs, which I'm sure Ty doesn't talk about. So, I can see why people are going to love it. When it comes out in 10 days, I'm not going to hear from Tyler for probably 10 days straight. So, that should be a fun one. But, so Fallout 76 is coming. Where does it fall in the timeline? Help me out here with this one.
It's the first vault that opens back up, which I'm going to get to in just a second.
All right, so I am going to shut up and let Tyler talk. Remember, Tyler, we do have other topics to go. So, and I know when the game comes out, we're going to get a full review of it. So
Fallout 76 is based on 2076. It's the however many anniversary, 300th anniversary?
Yes.
400th anniversary of our centennial. And it's the first vault that opens back up after the Fallout, which explains why there's no one else there. And so the idea is that all of us as players are the ones coming out of the vault. And we are the first people to step foot on this land since it's become livable again. We are the first ones to leave any vault after this Fallout, which is fine. But it also makes the world like super lonely. Unless, because, I mean, for me, Fallout and Skyrim have always, or not Skyrim, but Elder Scrolls have always been very much single-player experiences, which is how they've always been meant to be, except for Elder Scrolls Online, which I play with Haven, but no one else. I don't make, like, big groups, and I don't buddy up with strangers. I still play that as, like, an experience for my wife and I. And Fallout 76 more or less relies on that same thing. The only other living things out there are like these irradiated beasts and things, and then actual other players. There are no, you know, humans or ghouls that have come back and started making a life like in the other Fallout games. The only other humans you see are the ones that are actual other players, which is my first really big problem with this game, because all of your quests now come from like bodies or computer terminals or robots and things like that.
Right.
There is most, if not all, of the dialogue options are gone, which is a big part of Bethesda's games in general. You know, it's like talking to characters, using charisma or intimidation, things like that. These different dialogue trees and the way you interact with people is a big part of not just, I mean, but especially Bethesda's games, but just most RPGs in general. And you lose that in this one, at least in my experience with the beta, you lose that experience with this one because there aren't any other humans to talk to except actual other people. The quests you pick up are like you find a dead body that has a note on it. Or a computer terminal tells you where to find, you know, a cache of treasure or something like that. And I didn't like that at all. That
really? Okay.
It felt like it feels lonely. It doesn't feel like a populated world. The other people you see, it doesn't feel like they're living in this world. It feels like, you know, other players running around trying to pick up quests and things.
Doesn't that sound familiar from a game from Sony that just recently came out on Xbox One that they did fix? A little game from a company called Hello Games that Sony made in Rush Out called... I just lost it at the top of my head.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No Man's Sky.
Oh, No Man's Sky.
It was very lonely when it first came out, and that's kind of essentially what I'm hearing from you.
Well, it's not even that. There, you see other players, and there are a lot of other players running around. Because No Man's Sky shipped basically without multiplayer, and even when they fixed it, you know, it was like you didn't come across people unless you wanted to buddy up with them. You had to kind of like start out on the same planet and group up to see other people. This one, you see people everywhere. It's not that I couldn't find other players. It was the fact that they felt like other players. Because I would run to like a computer terminal and I had to wait in lines. There were people in this beta that were like using the computer terminal, and if I tried to run up and use the terminal, it would say, "This terminal is busy, try again later." And I had to sit and wait for the other players to finish what they were doing to like turn in my quest or start a new quest. Like, only one person can use that terminal at a time, and so there were moments where it was like me and four other players just standing there waiting for the other person to finish up what he was doing before we could even interact with whatever object it was that we were supposed to be interacting with. And then, you know, too, there's like this idea of like a living, breathing world. You know, it's like you walk into a bar in Fallout 4 and you see people sitting at the bar drinking, and you see people like playing cards over at a table and stuff like that. And here it's like any area you walk into, you see people, like, you know, shooting monsters and jumping up and down on tables and, like, teabagging mole rats and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like a lived-in world. The only other people you see are doing goofy stuff or just doing quests like you are. It does not feel like a legitimate world right now. And that bugged me a lot.
So hopefully when the game launches in 10 days Bethesda will put out a patch relatively quick to either put more terminals in the game or to allow, if not everybody at once, but allow more than just one person to use the terminal at a time or something along those lines. Because that, to me, would just kind of make the game boring. It's like, especially for a game like Fallout, you're constantly moving, you're constantly exploring, you're constantly doing something.
Yeah.
And then if you need to wait for 5 or 10 minutes, if you're in a line with other players waiting to use the terminal, it just takes it away. Because, I mean, it's like, the way I think of it is, like, let's say you have 30 minutes, and you just need to kill 30 minutes before you have to go do something, you know, before dinner's ready, you and Haven are about to go out. And it's like, let me just try to do one quick mission real quick and fall, just to kill some time. And then you're waiting in line for that 10 or 15 minutes right there, half of your gameplay is just waiting.
Yeah.
And then by the time you get the quest, it may be a quest that'd be perfect. I could finish it in 25 minutes if you had it right when you sat down to play, and now you're not able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just wasted time just waiting. So hopefully that'll get fixed for you guys, because I know that, especially listening to you, I thought I was going to come and listen to you talk about this, and you'd be like, oh my God, I can't wait. And now I'm just hearing this, and I'm just like, well, crap.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it's, son of a gun.
I think the combat works fine. VATS is fine. I heard some complaints about it before. It's fine. It's not that big a deal. Basically,
it sounds like something you might get used to.
Yeah. Have you read about it or seen it?
I've seen some people bitch about it.
Before VATS would pause time, and you would pick like the highest percentage or the part of the body you wanted to hit. In this one, there is no pausing because it's an MMO. So time keeps moving, but you can still target different body parts and things. And whenever you aim at it, it'll try to shoot at it. the weirdness comes because you might be aiming here and the bad guy is over there because they're still moving in real time. But when you shoot, you see the bullet, like, you know, fly backwards or something. And it's like, it's silly, yes, but it's the most effective way to make it work in a game where you can't pause the combat.
Right.
It's fine. It's not that big a deal. That I didn't have a problem with. I think it takes a lot of... it definitely takes inspiration from the Elder Scrolls Online, which makes sense, being they're both from the same company. But I feel like it takes a few good things from the Elder Scrolls Online, and I feel like it takes a couple bad things from the Secret World, if you ever played the Secret World. There's some funniness going on with, like, grouping right now, which will probably sort itself out, being it is a beta. And there was... some of the terminals and things kind of bugged out for me, but again, I think it's just like silliness because of the beta. Mm-hmm. But it's stuff that in the Secret World, even after the game was out, that didn't work right. And that bugged me a lot when Haven and I were playing the Secret World. So hopefully that gets sorted quickly, or at least, you know, shortly after the game launches, so that it doesn't ruin their sales.
Well, it's still selling anyway, because Bethesda's known for putting patches out.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but I think... it's not even that it's a bad experience. It just didn't enthrall me.
Right.
Normally I start a new Fallout and it's like I lose my life to this game. You know, all I want to do is play more Fallout. This one I played and after a few hours, the servers got overloaded and I got kicked. And I was like, you know what? I'm fine. I don't need to try to get back in. I'm good.
I'm really surprised. But I mean, I guess with them trying something new, you never know, but heck, when the game comes out soon, they can put out some patches, they can make it a lot better, and they can fix some of these problems, because that's what the beta's for, you know. That's the cool thing about, obviously, our consoles nowadays. I know mm-hmm. everyone wants to talk about digital distribution, but they have the ability to fix these games so fast now.
Yeah.
And just shoot out and be like, hey, this is a mandatory update to fix these problems.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing they did with No Man's Sky. It's not like they re-released it. It was like, here's the game that you really wanted. They just constantly kept updating it and updating and updating and giving the players what they wanted, and eventually they got it.
Yeah.
So
I will say, initial impressions are not amazing, but they're not bad either. It's still, I mean, combat is more or less unchanged. The quests themselves are more or less unchanged. It's just the way you take them on and the way you complete them is different. And being there aren't any characters to interact with, some of, you know, there's no dialogue or anything really anymore. A lot of it is, you know, you pick up a quest, you go kill some bad guys, you turn in that quest. So I hope there's some more variation after the game comes out as far as like the kind of quests you go on to. Maybe it's just early game stuff, trying to ease you in, show you combat, stuff like that. And if it is, that's fine. So it's like, at the end of the day, am I still going to get it? Yeah, most likely. But am I sitting here like on the hype train, like, dude, I can't wait for this? Not really anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's what surprised me. Because, again, I thought I was going to come over here and you were going to say all sorts of great things and how you couldn't wait to play it. But, heck, I guess we'll find out soon.
Yeah.
When the full game launches, that is.
Not to mention, it was kind of a funny bug. And I did post this one. This one was all over our feeds. Mm. I made sure to point this out to you guys. There was one beta date that I was supposed to be in, and I clicked play, and instead of opening the game, it deleted the entire game, and I had to re-download it. And I just missed out on that beta date altogether. And after the fact, they started updating online, and they started saying, you know, like, hey guys, you know, if you haven't started yet, don't click play, don't do anything, don't touch the game. If you click anything, it will delete your game instead of letting you play. And that is just the craziest bug to me. Like, it was kind of funny that there's a bug that literally causes any button you press to delete the whole game from your computer. And I thought that was funny. But at the same time, I kind of felt a little bit burned because they took this day that I was supposed to be playing and then deleted my progress, so I didn't get to play at all. Because once everybody got in and started playing and everybody started trying to re-download it, my speed plummeted. I went from... I clicked download immediately, and I was at like 25 megs a second. And I was like, oh, that'll be fine. But then as more people got on, more people started downloading, things like that, I dropped to like 800 kilobytes per second. So by the time it was done, you know, the opening date, the opening time was already over, and I couldn't get in anymore.
Okay.
But then later on, they said, we're sorry for all this, and for the people that didn't get in, we're going to remedy it by opening it up again. And I was like, oh, that's great. But what they did was, instead of giving us a new date at the same times, they opened it for like an 8-hour window instead of a 4-hour window, which would be fine, except I've got a life and I work. So it's like the beta so far has been open from like 7 to 11, and that's perfect. I'm home from work, I have time to like grab dinner quick, and then I play for 4 hours. But this time they opened it up from 2 p.m. until 11, which, again, I wouldn't care, except I'm working. You know, I can't start playing until about 7 or 8 anyway. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of bummed me out, that was their way of fixing it. I wish they had just given us a whole separate date, but with the same hours or something.
Okay.
But there was enough about it that didn't impress me that I'm kind of like, we'll see how it goes once it's out.
We'll wait and see.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see.
Assassin's Creed Origins. Do you still play the Assassin's Creed games?
No, you know, I never got back into them. So I hear this one was, they've been secretly very good recently.
Yeah, they've been changing them a lot, and I really liked Syndicate, but Syndicate was still very much an Assassin's Creed game. Mm-hmm. I just liked the time period and some of the new gadgets. Assassin's Creed Origins is very different, but it's also the older one. The new one is Odyssey. Origins is the one from last year, 2 years ago, something like that. And it's like, it's a whole lot of fun. I like the locales. I like the new like open world structure. I like the heavier RPG aspects of it. I like that it feels more varied. I feel like I can do things more in my own style, and I'm constantly, you know, like changing out my outfits and my weapons and things like that. And I mean, you know how I am about RPGs.
Right.
I love the RPG aspects and that character customization and stuff, being able to like beef myself up and, you know, always, you know, get some new piece of armor or get a new weapon that's more powerful. I love that grind and that kind of gratification. And so I'm really digging it. What I don't like is that being it set in ancient Egypt, there's not a whole lot of stuff to climb or do. Being a game that's based so much on parkour since the very beginning, that's like one of the basis of this game.
Right.
It's weird that this one is open world in a way that kind of prevents a lot of parkour.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it kind of wants you to just either jump in or just, you know, jump on top of a building quick and then jump down. There isn't a lot to like climb and sneak around. It kind of takes that aspect away a little bit, but I like that. I like everything else about it. And I'm not going to dig too much into it, because like I said, this game's a year or two old at this point. But being the new games are out, you know, Origins is down to like $20. So I picked it up and I started playing, and I just wanted to let you know, if you guys were wondering, I'm having fun.
Hey, you know what, for $20, you can't really argue anyway.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's a good experience, and it was only like $20, so I figured I'd mention, I'm playing it now, and it's fun, in case you guys were wondering.
So hey, you know what, though, 'cause you never know when people want to sit down and pick something up.
Yeah.
So two more topics, because I actually forgot how you sent me that list, and that's what I was just going to look if you guys just saw me on my phone.
So we're almost back to the two of us.
Yes.
The last thing is the one we've been talking about since the beginning that I just wanted to touch on real quick. So my first attempt at my original Xbox project was I was going to take my Xbox One X and put it inside of an original Xbox, which would be fine, except for the way that they're made now. The Xbox One X is just built so differently that there was no easy way to convert it to, like, the original Xboxes, like, power and reset and eject buttons and things like that. And even then, I would have had to have... I modified the case, and technically it was a success. I made it work, and I got the Xbox One into the original Xbox case.
Right.
And I was proud of that, but I had to kind of cannibalize the original Xbox shell enough that it didn't look good anymore. It didn't look professional. And I ended up just kind of gutting the whole thing. I put the Xbox One X back into its original case, and I ended up just tossing the old shell for the original Xbox because I had mangled it up trying to make it work. And it kind of just became... It wasn't even like something I wanted to do. It was something I had to do to prove to myself that I could. And so I did it, and I've got like the video proof. And originally my plan was to upload a build log and, you know, show off what I had done. And it was all bad. I didn't like it. I didn't like what I had done. And so I just tossed the shell and I tossed the video that I had made and stuff, and I was just like, I kind of felt like defeated. I didn't like it.
Okay.
So with the second Xbox, I've got another original Xbox, and this one I'm building an actual computer into, which is going so much better because I can customize the parts the way I want. I can build it custom, and you know, I don't have to mangle up the case to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm able to build it in the way that I want and customize the way it fits so that it looks good whenever it's done too. And so far, so I've got the pieces fitted in there, and I resoldered the cables from power and eject. The Xbox is like power and eject buttons.
Yeah.
I stripped the cables and resoldered them to be power is still power, but I made eject like the reset button if your computer's locked up or something like that. There isn't enough feasible space within the original Xbox to put a dedicated graphics card and a disk drive. Originally, I wanted to put a Blu-ray drive in there, but I ended up bailing on that. I'm just going to make it a digital system because there's just not enough space to put a full-size graphics card and a disk drive. It's just, it can't happen.
Okay.
So I ended up bailing on the disk drive because who needs disks anymore? It's all digital anyway.
Shut up.
At least, you know, for the purposes I'm using it for, I'm not going to need a disk drive. And if I do, I can just plug one in externally, you know? So I'm not doing a disk drive, but I've got all the parts fitted in there. I need to Dremel out a hole for the I.O. So I've got the hole. I need to drill out a hole in the back to fit it in perfectly. But I've got all the parts, and they'll all fit in nicely. And I've resoldered the cables so that the actual buttons on the front of the Xbox are functional buttons, which was a big deal with the Xbox One X project. And like I said, the disk drive was originally going to be a functional disk drive, but I'm gonna let that part go because I know that's going to become another obsession that I'm just going to be unhappy with. So I'm letting that one go now, and that one's just going to be a facade. Like the front of the disk drive will still be there, but it's not going to do anything. So I'm probably about halfway through that project, and hopefully by next week, maybe I can show that off. If you're going to be at EXPCon,
maybe I can
get that plugged in and stream from it a little bit, show off the system and also get some gameplay in or something.
Cool. Very good.
So that's my current like mod project.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I've got another project, but we'll talk about that when I get to it. And then I think we've just got
one more topic. That's
dude. We got two. We forgot one.
Which one?
Starlink.
Oh, shoot. We didn't forget about that one, did we?
Yeah.
You want to touch on it real quick?
Let's touch on Starlink real quick.
All right. I completely forgot about it. So, Starlink came out for Xbox One, PS4, Nintendo Switch. Both of us, obviously, picked that for the Switch.
Actually, if you're listening, it's not going to matter.
But if you're watching, you just got a view of Tyler's butt.
Yes.
Lucky you. So, while Tyler
gets... That's why I sit up.
And while Tyler's getting his... Well, he's already back. He's going to try and talk about it a little bit. So, Starlink... trying to bring the toys to life somewhat back. Although I do want to make sure I add this because it is available digitally. And if you buy it digitally, you do not need the toys to play this game.
And that is one of the main points of why I don't like this. This is part of why I'm mad at this game right now.
Really?
Yes. But we'll get there in a second.
So
I need to show this off. If you're watching, you need to see this because it's beautiful.
It's perfect. It's the beautiful
R-Wing. Perfect replica of the R-Wing. And you've got your little Star Fox
not figure. Amiibo.
No, it's not an Amiibo. It's definitely made just for Starlink. It also comes with an extra. His name is Mason, an extra Starlink character. If you're listening, you're just listening right now.
Yeah.
If you want to come watch it, you can. Or if you want to just skip to this, we're a little over an hour in. If you want to just come watch this part real quick, you can take the weapons off, which is cool. You can take the wings off, which is cool, and then you're left with just the shell, the cockpit of the ship. And you can put the wings back on backwards or forwards. It doesn't matter. You can swap them. And
it's all about customization in this game.
And it'll show you that in the game. It's not even like this is just for you to play with. If you swap if you put the wings on backwards, the wings will be backwards in the game. And it'll actually change like the stats and the way your ship drives a little bit. And that part is super awesome, and I love that.
It's very true with this game, is that, you know, it's not like a Disney Infinity or LEGO Dimensions or Skylanders to the point where you just put a character on a pad and it shows up.
Real quick, while he's talking, I just want to show you.
Yeah, I mean, this is
the gamepad for the Switch version.
It's actually on the controller, and it does what it needs to do.
So your pilot goes on first, then you snap your ship on, and then your Joy-Cons would go here, and you'd actually play with the ship in your hand, which is awesome. All of this, the physical stuff, is super cool.
And one of the things I got to give it is that, you know, obviously we were both very much looking forward to this game. And, you know, admittedly, I have not had as much time to play, getting ready for the show and everything as I wanted to. But one thing that I was nervous about that I don't even think I mentioned to you, Tyler, when it was coming out, is with a toy like that actually being on the controller, how heavy would it be? Mm-hmm. And I could say it's not heavy
at all.
It's not bad at all.
I didn't get fatigued playing
it.
No,
not at all. I mean, so, you know, it's something to get used to. I mean, by no means is it just picking up a controller. There is a little bit of extra weight on it. But they made it in a way where it really doesn't matter. It's not going to hinder you. It's not going to tire you out from playing it. And, you know, it's just a ton of fun. The controls at first are a little bit to get used to while you still kind of figure everything out. But when you get past that and when you get into the game, especially if you have the Nintendo version because you get Star Fox, it's a lot of fun to actually sit down and play. It's different, so it's not like I said, it's not like LEGO Dimensions or Disney Infinity or anything like that. It's just a ton of fun to sit down, to open up, to play. And of course, you can go to stores and buy new pilots and new ships, new weapons, new everything. So, and just before we even get into our next topic, it's actually, I don't know if you saw this, at Target, it's going to be $39.99. It's normally $75.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a door buster, so I don't know if it's going to be like that all day or, you know, on a Friday and as well as the Thursday night, but it is going to be on sale for $39.99. And I think right then and there, we can easily say it's definitely worth picking up, especially to get the whole starter set. So, like I said, though, again, you know, controls do take a little bit getting used to, at least for me. Mm-hmm. But in terms of what it can be, I mean, this game could very well, Ubisoft can make a Star Fox game for the Switch the correct way, because Star Fox Zero really wasn't that good.
Yeah.
I didn't like that one for the Wii U at the time.
So, I love the physical stuff. The ship is super cool. The pilot is cool. The way you can, like, the mount for the game Joy-Cons is cool. And I love that. I don't know if it's just the Switch version. Mm-hmm. I would think there's an option to do it in every version. I wouldn't see why not. But at least in the Switch version, being it's also a portable console, if you take it on the go, it'll ask if you want to just play digitally. It'll take everything you've unlocked and store it for up to 7 days. So you can keep playing it while you're on the go without having to cart around all of the extra stuff if you don't want to, if it's not practical.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And that part, I think, is great. Everything about that, I think, is awesome. What I didn't like is I tend to be, like, super anal about doing everything.
Right.
And this game is so repetitive. And I thought maybe it would be, like, on a planet-to-planet basis. I was thinking maybe the first planet would have its own unique, like, problems and things I had to deal with, and the next planet would be different. This game basically has the same structure for every planet you go to. And so for someone who just wants to play through the story, that's fine. But for someone who has to go unlock every facility and do all the quests for every facility and get everything up to 100%, it becomes such a drag. It is not, like, they did not give you enough interesting things to do to sustain this game. And the quests they did give you, you're going to repeat those quests dozens of times. And even just within one world, like the first world, it's like every facility told me to go fetch some stone and bring it back, or go fetch some piece of equipment and bring it back. And every facility had a quest where they wanted me to take one of their beacons and go drop it somewhere else on the planet. And you can only do that so many times before you start getting bored.
Yeah, especially in a game like this, because it is such a big open world. I don't want to say it's open world, but exploration type of title.
Yeah.
You can't always have just those. I mean, those kind of missions are fine to start out with while you're kind of learning how to play the game, getting used to controls and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But it is a bit repetitive, so I think if they do a sequel, they can fix some of that. Because I think they are onto something here. I mean, this is different. This is a Toys to Life type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different way to do it. And I think Ubisoft nailed it with, even just in general, like that R-Wing, essentially I think you're paying $60 for the game and then you're paying $15 for two figures and a ship.
Yeah.
And the R-Wing,
and two weapons.
And two weapons. The R-Wing looks fantastic. And mm-hmm. the other ships that are out there, you know, I've had a chance to pick them up and take a peek at them. I mean, they look fantastic too.
Yeah.
So you are getting quality, even just as a collector, if you're into this kind of stuff, just in the toys alone.
Yeah.
So I think Ubisoft could be onto something with that.
The second thing that, and I knew it going in, but I was kind of super hoping. I tried it anyway. I knew it wasn't going to be a thing, but I had to try it. I thought that maybe, I know it's primarily ship combat, but being how customizable, you know, you're in the game. If you pop a wing off, the game pops off in the game, like immediately. And you just keep playing with one wing. Same without both. You can take off both wings, just be a cockpit, like flying around. If you take off the cockpit, it tells you to put a ship back on. There is no land combat. You can't get out of your ship. You can't play as your pilot.
Okay.
You still have to be in your ship at all times to play, even if it's just the cockpit. I was really hopeful that maybe you'd be able to pop that off and just, like, you know,
take it off little by little just to see what happens.
Yeah. I really wanted to be able to just jump down and run around with, like, my guns or something, you know, and just be like a character.
So if they,
you cannot do that.
So if going back with what I said, if Ubisoft and Nintendo do work together to produce a Star Fox game, you know, I don't think they're going to do a pure toys to life type of deal like this, you know. But I think they can get the space exploration of it down and then mm-hmm. just use what they know from the other games to make the combat. Because obviously Star Fox isn't always just, I mean, in the or early games it was. But, I mean, it could very well have a little bit of mixture and have the potential to do great.
Yeah, and I think that would go a long way toward helping me make it a little bit more varied. Would be if you gave me the option to play in my ship or just running around the planet as a person. I think even just giving me that option would help me a little bit. The fact that I had to stay in my ship kind of like burned me out after a little bit. On top of just like the, there's no variation in the quests at all.
Right.
The third thing, I didn't have a problem with controls. I thought controls were fine.
For me, they were a little weird. I mean, they weren't bad by any means, but I was like, all right, I'm kind of getting used to it.
So I keep talking about bad stuff. I think controls are good. Story is good.
Story is very good.
Figures are great.
Oh, these are great. These figures.
The figures don't really do anything, though. Like, so the Switch edition also comes with a digital copy of the ship you don't get. You swap off because you get the R-Wing with the Switch edition instead of like the yellow ship that comes in the other regular starter editions.
Yes.
But you get a digital copy of the yellow starter ship. And swapping between those, there's no incentive to keep playing with a secondary ship. Basically, they're extra lives. Because each of these customizable pieces also levels up. You can level up your weapons. You can level up your ship. You can level up your character. All of these customizable bits, you can level up and make more powerful, but it's slow enough and tedious enough that that becomes its own grind. Leveling up one of these things takes up all of your time. So my R-Wing is like jacked up and it's amazing. But in the case that I do die, which happened not on the first boss fight, but on the second boss fight, I was so close. I was like an inch away from making it and I died. And it told me put on another ship to keep playing.
Right.
But my secondary ship, I hadn't touched. I had never had to worry about it. And so I put on the digital, like, yellow ship, and it was just doing squat. It didn't do anything because I hadn't dedicated the time to leveling up that ship. And it's another way to keep you playing, but I don't feel like it's an effective way to keep you playing because the stats on these ships, the base stats, are not very different. It's about the way that you level them up and you pull them up yourself. So if you don't want to dedicate the dozens of hours to maxing out all of the ships and all of the characters, you're kind of screwing yourself over. But at the same time, it's not really worth going back and leveling up all of the ships and all of the characters because they don't make any real difference beyond like cosmetically, just having a different look. And there aren't enough varied quests or fun quests to want to go back and level everything up. And so that's kind of stuck in a funny space too, where it's like, if you just jack up your one thing, your one ship and your one character, and just blaze, you get good enough that you can blaze through the boss fights, there's no reason to have the other stuff. Which brings me into my final point, which is the physical ships are super cool, but you get screwed over so hard for getting the physical ships. You buy the physical starter set, and you have to buy all of the physical stuff. You can buy digital stuff, but it's like, why would you do that? If you bought the physical ship and the physical pilots, why would you not go buy more physical things? Because it says you can buy more ships for like $13 each or something like that, and more weapons that are like $5 or something. But it's like, if you're going in on the physical stuff, you want the physical stuff. On the other hand, if you just bought it digitally for $60, it's unlocked with everything from the beginning. You get all the ships, all the weapons, all the pilots are immediately unlocked. The digital version is the only complete version. Mm-hmm. And they're basically, it seems like they're kind of saying screw you to the people that are going in for the collector's stuff. Because if they gave you the physical ship, but also had the option of having the digital stuff in the game, that'd be one thing. But you're paying so much more money.
Absolutely.
I mean, even in the beginning, you're paying $75 instead of $60 just to get the physical starter edition. And so you're already paying $15 more, and you're getting like one ship, one pilot, two weapons. If you pay $15 less, you get everything the game has to offer. Mm-hmm. You just don't have a physical copy of it. And that burned me up so bad because that was not advertised before release. That was something that people found out after the fact and people started writing reviews about after the game came out. And that kind of made me a little bit mad. And it kind of, there was a period where I was like, I don't even know if I want the other ships. Because that seems like kind of a really sketchy business model to follow.
That really, I didn't know that either. And, you know, obviously I think for people like you and me who are big Nintendo fans, we kind of got sucked into it because we wanted to get the R-Wing and play as Fox. Which yeah. is I haven't tried or I haven't really seen anybody putting that on like a PS4 or Xbox One or seeing if it
works that way. Yeah, I don't know if that's a thing.
But it's like the story for this one, like it intertwines. It's not just regular, you know, ship, regular commander. Oh, I could be. No, the story actually intertwines with the Star Fox game, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I agree with what you're saying, and by no means am I saying that's right, but I could tell you with me, who just wanted to one play the game as Star Fox, I really don't care about the other ships and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I was personally happy buying the $75 game for just that.
And that's kind of my thing. Yeah. It's like, now that I've got it, and that's the point I was trying to make. Like, I got the ship, and I think it's super cool. I love that I've got an R-Wing now. You know, like, I'm just going to, like, put this up on my shelf.
You can get an R-Wing, but they're a lot more expensive than just what the heck.
Yeah, but I have absolutely zero motivation to go get more ships or more pilots. At first, I wanted all of them, and I was even texting Mike saying, like, dude, there's exclusives here. I got to go get all this stuff before the game came out. Then the day the game came out, I started playing, and I'm like, I don't need any of the other stuff. The R-Wing and Star Fox are good enough. I haven't even put Mason on there. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's no reason for me to get more toys or anything. This is the one I wanted, and this is the one I've got. So it's like, not only am I kind of burned up about the way that they did that business model, but they didn't really give me a good reason to want more of the toys because they don't really make any difference beyond just looking like different toys.
Yeah, and honestly, it's the same with me, you know. Kind of a bad move by Ubisoft doing what they need to do, but I was happy with mine. I got it. I'm going to sit down and finish playing it. And it's really all there is to it. Fun game to check out. Mm-hmm. I guess really the two ways we could say it is that if you want to play everything, just buy it digitally for $60. But if you want to just, if you're like me personally and a little bit like Todd, I'd probably say more me because you were more excited for this than I was, I think.
Yeah, I like Star Fox and I wanted the R-Wing, but I was really excited for the experience in general. I wanted like the Toys to Life stuff. I love that. I loved Disney Infinity. I loved Lego Dimensions. And this one I felt a little bit burned by. Lego Dimensions is probably my favorite out of all of them. Because I've played, even Skylanders. I got into Skylanders for a while. And LEGO Dimensions is by far the best way to do Toys to Life. They've done things with their Toys to Life model that nobody else has replicated yet. That's easily the best way to do it.
That's very true. That is very, very true. And sorry, I'm checking my calendar here.
No, you're fine.
But I think for me personally, like, I went into this knowing I just want the game to play as Star Fox. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the rest of it. If some other random thing comes out that I just got to get, no, I may pick it up. But I was happy spending my $75 to get the R-Wing to play as Star Wars, to play a game I was interested in general. And that's that.
Yeah.
So that's just me. So, do you have anything else you'd like to add, Tyler?
I don't think so. I think... What's your number for this one?
I'm going to give this out 7, I think. Right now. Because I'm still early. Still playing a little more.
I was going to say, like, 5.5. Soul gameplay merits are fine, but it's repetitive and it's kind of a bad business model, and I kind of came away from it disappointed.
Right. I was looking more, I think it's more like this for me, is that yes, I know it's not a Star Fox game, but just because I was so kind of disappointed with Star Fox Zero,
yeah,
and then I saw this and I was like, okay, this is not a Star Fox game, but it has the potential to be what a Star Fox game could be. I want to give it a little more leeway.
Right.
But that's just me. So, and again, I'm not as far into it as you are. So that could definitely have
something to do with it. It's also, that is a big part of it, because I put so much faith in this that this is all I packed on a weekend trip. A couple weeks ago, we went to Tampa and I brought my Switch and...
what was the other thing you were Starlink. Talking about we couldn't film, so...
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
I had my Switch and I had Starlink, and that was all I played. So I put probably a solid 20 to 30 hours in just on that weekend, right after it came out. Because it came out Friday and we left Saturday. And so I put a solid like 20 to 30 hours in just over those like couple of days or a few days. And I think that was a big part of it too, was I was kind of putting in hours because it was the only thing I had, but I was already losing interest just because of the repetitive nature of it. I think in short bursts, it might be a little bit better too if you balance it out with other games or experiences. But having it be my only experience, it got super grindy and repetitive and burned me out real quick.
Well, repetitive, yeah. I just wanted to play it for a Star Fox.
Yeah.
So Tyler, I know we have one more topic, but just due to time...
We're finally here. And this is going to be like one of our longest episodes.
It really is. So
I mean, we've skipped a lot.
We did.
We're like a month behind, so I hope you guys buckled in for this one.
So I'm just going to do this real quick, as I'm starting to fade and I got somewhere I got to go. So
okay.
I am only going to talk about this. It was some games that we're looking forward to for Black Friday. And obviously...
Or for the future.
And when I was looking at the calendar a minute ago, we actually will have another show on the 18th. So right before Black Friday, when hopefully all the ads will be released, so we could talk a little more.
Yeah, we can talk about our actual plans.
Yes. So I'm just going to say these two, and then I'll pass it off to you, and then we'll wrap it up. Is that one game that I am actually looking forward to. I mean, it's out now, of course.
I'm wondering if this is going to be the same one that I was going to mention.
Is it an out now game?
Yeah.
Okay, so it might be.
Because I have a feeling, based on the way we've been talking, I have a feeling you and I are going to have the same game here.
Well, I hope so, because you're getting really excited. So, I don't know if I talked to you about this one, or the first one. You know, I see what people liked again. It really wasn't for me. You know what it is.
I think I do.
And for this one that just recently came out,
I'm going to guess.
Is that, you know, I'm willing to give this one a shot. So, it's definitely on my Black Friday list. It's not on my list right now. But I want to give a shot Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yep.
I really do. You know, a lot of my friends have been putting hours and hours into it. And here's the thing with me, you know, kind of when we were talking about Fallout, is I said that I'm not really big on online. I'm more of a single player guy. Well, you know, Red Dead, you know, I think online's about to come out for it. But Red Dead is a single player campaign. It really is. And that's something that I want to give a shot to. Check it out. And so if it's at that $30-$35 beauty mark at Black Friday, I will definitely pick up.
Oh yeah, that was more or less the same thing I was thinking, but for the opposite reason. I really liked Red Dead Redemption, and I was really excited for the second one until I started hearing about the game itself. I kind of went the opposite way with it. When reviews started coming out and people started talking about it, I was like, I might wait a little bit, you know, see how it goes. And then my friends all started talking to me, and they were like, it's amazing, you have to get it. And I was like, okay, I'll get it. But then they started saying, like, all of the maintenance. It doesn't even, based on what they're saying, it kind of felt like not even a single-player campaign, so much as, like, a cowboy simulator. Because, you know, they started saying, like, if you don't shave, you'll grow a beard, so you have to shave. Mm-hmm. If you don't bathe, you'll get stinky, and people will, like, treat you differently. If you don't, like, pet your horse and bond with your horse constantly, the horse won't like you as much and might betray you. If your horse dies, it's just dead forever, and you have to go, you know, get a new horse. And then, you know, they're like, if you don't constantly, like, give money to your gang, then, you know, the gang won't like you, and, you know, so on and so forth. It seemed like, it felt like there was so much maintenance.
Right.
And, like, at one point, one of my friends, Justin, he was describing to me, he's like, he spent a whole day just doing, like, maintenance stuff. Like, he woke up and broke down his camp, and then fed his horse, and bathed himself and his horse, and then, killed some animals to make dinner, and then like set up camp and made his food and went to bed, and then woke up the next morning and tore down his camp. And I was like, okay, but where does the game start? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, that's actually like a part of the game. And I'm like, that's not game. That's just chores at that point, you know? Like, where are the missions? Where are the quests? Where's the dialogue? Where are the people? You know, like, at what point does the actual like campaign begin? And so I was hearing all this stuff, and I was kind of like, I don't know if I do want it, you know? But everybody, they're talking about how this is, like, a new kind of, like, open-world experience. And, you know, it's been getting, like, perfect 10s. This is, like, you know, like, new Legend of Zelda good, you know? Like, everybody's been raving about this. And all my friends keep telling me how amazing it is and how I have to play it. And so I'm kind of waiting for a price drop because I'm a little bit nervous that I liked the first one, and I'm not going to like this one instead.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see.
We'll see. I mean, and that the other one that I was going to say, I think you played it, and this is my only other one. They re-released The World Ends With You on the Switch from the DS, and I never had a chance to play it on DS, and again, I hear nothing but great things about it. So if that's just like one of those random titles, I think it's 50 right now, so if I find it for 20 or 25, I'll snag it. And those are really the only two that I'm looking for now, but I'm sure as once more has a release, and, you know, I think we'll be back on November 18th. It'll be our next show. It's a week before, you know, Thanksgiving and all that. I'll be able to see if anything else just kind of caught my eye for a reasonable price.
Yeah, that one I want to get again, not because I have played it, but it was just a really good game.
Right.
I want to pick it up, but I can't justify paying full price for it. So I'm kind of doing the same thing. If I can get it on a Black Friday sale or something, I think I might, just because I liked it and I want to play it again.
Right.
But I can't really pay $50 having already played it for DS.
Mm-hmm.
The others that I'm looking for are games that you already have, but I've kind of fallen behind, you know, with the moving and the weddings and, all this and all the stuff, you know, catching up. I've been playing Origins and the beta for 76 and stuff like that. I've just had a lot and I've kind of fallen behind, but I also need to, I haven't played Shadow of the Tomb Raider yet.
That was what I said, I think for 25?
See, I'll probably do that. If I can get it for 25, I'll probably pick that up.
25 or 30, see, the 25 or 35 at Target, but again, you know, more ads are going to
come. Yeah, so I'll probably pick that up, and I don't know if they'll do a deal on it, especially this early, but I want to get Mario Party. I still don't have the new Mario Party.
That could be like that random title, $40 somewhere.
Yeah, like, know. Even if they just knock $10 off or something. And I've also got my birthday's this month, so I got the email from Nintendo for, like, I think it's like 40% off or something like that. So that'll help me out a lot, too.
Yes.
Worst case scenario, I'll pick it up for, like, half price on the e-store with my ad, with my gift card or whatever. Mm. Those are my other big ones.
So we'll see in a couple weeks because, you know, I think the big three will be the Walmart, GameStop, and Best Buy, rest in peace, Toys R Us.
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of see what other kind of games are out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Tyler's much like me. We got some other places that we got to...
Yeah, we've been here a while.
We've
been trying to cut down our time, and this is like as long as the first couple episodes we did.
A lot of good topics. I want a lot to catch up on, but now that we're caught up, we should be better off. So anyway, guys, as always, thank you for watching. We are back.
We are.
We'll be back a little bit more active online for things. I'll be posting pictures and whatnot from the show this weekend. Tyler will be posting about his Xbox project.
Yeah.
And we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.